Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
If you'd open your Bibles this morning to Acts, we're going to start in chapter 2, but we're going to be looking at some different places. We are continuing our series this morning, Better Together, where we're looking in the book of Acts at how the church, how the first Christians live life together. And that's why we're calling this series Better Together. And last week we talked about doing life together, how we need four kinds of relationships. Does anyone remember the four kinds? We need people who will what? Walk with us. We need people who will work with us. We need people who will fight with us. And we need people who will cry with us. That is right. Those are the four relationships we need. And we saw how the early church did that. This morning, we're going to talk about sharing together. Last week was doing life together. This week is sharing together. And we're going to discover how God wants us to have genuine care and support for each other. Now, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, we want to welcome you. We're so glad that you're with us. And if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that today you get a free pass on the message, okay? Because today we're talking about how should Christians care for one another? How should Christians support and be there for each other in difficult times? And we're going to talk about sharing together. Last week we said that this series really runs kind of countercultural to our society. Last week we talked about how, you know, America, we're all about the individual and we're very independent, and yet God wants us to be a community. This week's message talking about sharing also runs counter to our culture because we tend to be very materialistic. It's about what can I get? It's about having more. It's about being, you know, having something bigger, something faster, something stronger, you know, more horsepower, that kind of thing. And it's very easy to slip into this trap of materialism, which is the enemy of having a life of sharing like the scripture talks about. However, the idea of materialism is not just an issue because it's here in America. It's an issue because we're human. For example, I heard one time of a man that went and visited a pastor out in a remote village in Africa, okay? They lived in mud huts, huts put together with sticks and mud. There was just some crude furniture. There wasn't a lot there. There was no running water, no electricity. And this man asked the pastor, he said, you know, what's the greatest problem, one of the greatest problems you face in the ministry, ministering to these people? And without skipping a beat, the pastor slams his hand on the table and he says, materialism. And the guy goes, materialism? You live in Africa. I mean, you guys have nothing. And he says, you got to realize my people who have one pig want two pigs. If they have two pigs, they want a cow or several cows. If they have a small mud hut, they want a bigger mud hut. You see, human nature always wants more. We are never satisfied with what we have. You know, our tendency is instead of helping others, it's to hoard. Instead of giving more, it's to gain more. That is our natural tendency. You are not satisfied. How many of you remember when you bought your last vehicle? How many were thrilled to death with it? Yeah, many of you were, okay. Now how many were saying, "Boy, I need a new car. I need another car. Yeah, I need a better car. Or I need a different house. I need a different this. You know, I need new clothes. I need a better this." Hopefully you're not saying a better spouse, okay? You're stuck with that one, all right? You want a better spouse? You become a better spouse, and they'll become a better spouse, all right? How about a better version of yourself? But you see, our tendency is to not be satisfied and to want more. And this morning, I'd like you to take out your notes from inside of your bulletin. These notes you can use to take sermon notes on, but also for all of those who are in our life groups, make sure you fill in this outline, and then there's homework for you to do this week before you come to your life group, and we encourage you to do the homework. It will help you grow as a follower of Jesus Christ. But this morning, we're going to take a look at four lessons on sharing found in the book of Acts. And the first lesson, for those who are taking notes, is that the early church's generosity changed the world. The early church's generosity changed the world. And we read this in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 47. And I'm going to read it through the contemporary English version. I'd like you to look at this screen. It says, all the Lord's followers often met together. Okay, so they went to church a lot. That's a good thing to do if you want to grow in your faith with Jesus Christ. And then it says, they shared everything they had. Say everything with me. They would sell their property and possessions and give the money to whoever needed it. Day after day, they met together in the temple. They broke bread together in different homes and shared their food happily and freely. Say happily and freely. While praising God, everyone liked them. And each day, the Lord added to their group others who were being saved. The early church generously shared everything they had. They shared their time, they shared their food, they shared their possessions, they shared their pocketbooks, they took care of each other. And as people saw their love, as people saw their commitment, how they supported and how they were there for one another, people became Christians themselves. They were impressed by the level of commitment, the level of concern that was there. How many know the world doesn't really care for you out there? The world can be a lonely place, a cruel place, a place that is all about me. It's a dog-eat-dog world. But that was not the culture that people saw in the early church. They saw Christians who loved one another. And what's so interesting about this is that at this time, it was not safe to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, what happened to Jesus about a month and a half before this? He was crucified. You know, the disciples were hiding for their life. Last week in Acts chapter 4, we saw how John and Peter were thrown in prison. When you take a look in Acts chapter 5, verse 40, it records how the apostles were thrown into jail and beaten before they were released. When you go to Acts chapter 12, John's brother James is murdered and Peter is arrested and they're looking at doing the same thing to him. It's not popular. It's not safe to become a Christian. Yet, despite the persecution, despite the suffering, people are coming to Jesus every day because they see the commitment and the genuine care that the body of Christ had for one another. It was a fulfillment of the prophecy of what Jesus said on his last night with the disciples in John chapter 13, verse 35. He said, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The love that the early Christians had for one another set them apart from everyone else, and it made people say, what's different about you? What is it that you have that I don't have? And people came to know Jesus by their generosity. Friends, our generosity can change our community right here. I want you to write that in your notes. It's not in your notes, but write it down. My generosity, your generosity can change our community. Your generosity can change your neighborhood. It can change your workplace. It can change your school. We see just a glimpse of that every week with our Helping Hands community services. You say, what's Helping Hands? Well, it's another name for our food pantry. We gave it a kind of a different name. You know why? Because it's not just food that we give out. We give haircuts. We give clothing. We give household items. We even give away pet food, okay? We help the community, and we have seen just so many people ministered to, people that have become saved, people that are here today because of our Helping Hands food pantry. Generosity has changed people, and the more generous we are, the more that I give. And here's the thing, generosity just isn't our money. We're not just talking money. It's also our time. It's our talent. It's our words. It's how we live. The more generous we are, the more caring and loving we are, it can change people's lives. That's the first lesson we learn about sharing, is that it can impact the world. It can change the world around us. Let's take a look at lesson number two this morning. The second lesson the early church teaches us about sharing is that generosity is the loving heartbeat of God. Generosity is the loving heartbeat of God. Take a look in Acts chapter 15, verse 11. I'm going to read it from the Message. It says, "We are saved because the Master Jesus, amazingly and out of sheer generosity, moved to save us." God was generous. He gave the most prized possession, the most valuable thing that was important to him, and that was his son, Jesus Christ. You can't get more generous than that. This morning, we're going to celebrate communion to remember God's generous sacrifice to you and me. The emblems of the bread symbolizes the body of Jesus that was beaten, whipped, hit, struck, spit on, tortured, nailed to a cross. The cup that we're going to drink symbolizes the blood that was shed for you and I. You see, in the Old Testament system, for there to be forgiveness of sin, they had to shed the blood of a sacrifice, but they had to offer that sacrifice every year. Jesus offered his blood once for all. When he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished," like we learned a few weeks ago in our famous Last Words series. Jesus said, "It is finished. I've paid the price for your sin." He was sinless. He didn't deserve to die, but the wages of sin is death. And Jesus took our death penalty upon himself. He was separated from God as he hung on the cross and said, "God, why are you so far from me? Why have you forsaken me? Why don't you help me?" God the Father turned his back on his Son. And Jesus experienced our punishment, our torment, because of our sin. And today, he offers that as a free gift to us. I can't work for it. I can't earn it. I can never be good enough to earn God's forgiveness. If I could, then there was no need for Jesus to die to offer his body and his blood, because I could work my way to heaven if I could be good enough. Jesus wants a relationship with you. You know, you talk about generosity, you can't get much more generous than to give your life to save someone else. And that's the heartbeat of God. God wanted you. Look at your neighbor and say, "God wants you." Say right back at you, "God wants you." God initiated relationship with you. John 3:16, one of the most popular verses of the Bible, says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever," notice it's open to anyone. There's no restriction on color, on social standing, on anything. He says, "Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's heart beats for you and me. And today, before our service is up, we're going to give an opportunity for those of you that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ to enter a relationship with him. But there's something you and I need to know. That generosity doesn't stop with me. It doesn't stop with you. God wants us to be filled with his love, that same kind of love that gave everything, where we have a willing heart to say, "God, I will give to you whatever you want me to give." Because that's his heartbeat. When we have a revelation of God's love for us, then we can realize, "God, I can give whatever you want me to give to anyone else." I enjoy giving gifts to my wife and kids. I love to see the expression on their face when they open the present, and it's that thing that they've wanted or that thing that they've needed, and they just light up. It's so exciting. And why do I like to do that? Because I love them. Now, if I hated someone, I really don't want someone to be happy. But I'm not supposed to hate anyone. I'm supposed to love everyone. But here's the thing. It is easy to give to people you love. It's easy to give to people that you love. And so here's a question. When God asks you to give to someone, are you saying, woohoo? Or you're saying, oh, nuts. You see, when I find there's selfishness and stinginess in my life, God's just showing me, Craig, you don't have a proper revelation of my love. You're not thankful enough. You don't have that attitude of gratitude, realizing all I've given you. You don't have my heartbeat for other people. My attitude in sharing really is directly corresponds to how much I'm living in the heartbeat of God's generosity and love for other people. I know just as I was thinking about this, like, God, help me to be more generous. Help me to be more loving. I mean, he shows me so much how selfish and how egocentric and how I focus on me and don't think about anyone else. How about you today? How generous are you? Are you willing to say, God, man, help me to love giving, to trust you that you'll take care of it? And you know, and sometimes when you're going through a tough time, you've lost your job, you're having a difficult time financially, it's really hard to be joyful about giving. You say, God, man, this hurts. God wants us to give willfully. Jesus said, no one takes my life. I lay it down. Jesus wasn't forced to give. He willingly gave. Generosity reveals the heartbeat of God, his loving heartbeat, and we need to model that. Okay, let's move on to the third lesson that the book of Acts teaches us about sharing and generosity. Number three, the generous life is a blessed life. The generous life is a blessed life, and we see this in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Here's the thing. Generosity opens us up to be blessed by God. When we're generous, then it opens us up God to be generous for us. You can't outgive God. A great story about generosity is found in Genesis 24. Write this down, okay? And I encourage you to read this story today, but I'm just going to sum it up for you. It's the story of Rebecca. It's the story of Rebecca, not my wife, okay? Although she's a great, generous, loving person, yes, but a different Rebecca, okay? And here we go. It starts out with Abraham, who is going to be the father of many nations, the father of Israel. And God said, I'm going to bless you with so many descendants, they number the sands of the sea. There's just one little problem with that. Abraham only has one son, and the guy's not married, okay? Abraham's getting up in years, and he's a little worried about this, okay? So he has his servant go back to his homeland because all the girls in the land of Canaan where Abraham and his son Isaac live are pagans. They worship idols. They sacrifice to idols. They're not godly people, not the kind of ladies you want if you want to build a godly nation. So he sends his servant back home. See, back in those days, they had arranged marriages. How many out there say, you know, the older my kids get, I think that's a good idea? Not really. I've told my daughter she can't date till she's 30. No. So, but it's an arranged marriage, and he sends his servant back to his homeland where there's people that believe in the one true God. And so the servant goes back, and as the servant kind of throws out this request to God, and I want you to take a look at what he prays. We're going to start in verse 13, Acts 24, verse 13. The servant says, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Now, if you read earlier, you realize this guy took 10 camels loaded down with gold, silver, and precious gems, a lot of wealth, you know, just incredible amount of wealth, 10 camels full of riches. And he says, when I ask for a drink, let her say, I'll also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one that you have appointed for your servant Isaac to be his wife. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened before he had finished speaking. Don't you like that? Before you finish praying, when those things are answered. Sometimes I wish God would go that quick for me. Yes. It happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. Drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Okay, let's do a little bit of math here, okay? The servant had 10 camels. The average camel, when it's gone a whole day, when it's gone on a long journey, it can drink up to 20 gallons of water. That's a lot of water. So do you realize, when she is saying, let me give your camels something to drink, she's basically saying, I'm going to give 200 gallons of water to you. Now that would be easy if you have a garden hose. But how many know that when you have to go to the well and draw it yourself, that's a little bit of work? Let's say she had a 5-gallon jar, okay? She lowers the bucket down into the well, brings it up, fills this jar. Don't know how many times it took. And then she takes this 5-gallon jar over to the trough where the camels are, pours it out, and then she goes back to the well to do that all over again. Do you realize for her to get 200 gallons with a 5-gallon jar, that's 40 trips? That girl's CrossFit, okay? 40 trips, and if each trip took at least 3 minutes, that is 120 minutes. She is saying, I'm going to give you the next 2 hours of my life and serve you. I'm going to share my water, my energy. I'm going to be generous to you. That was the heart. And the servant sitting back, and I don't know about you, you know, I'm not a rocket scientist, but if there is a lady who's kind and thoughtful, compassionate to strangers, has a good work ethic, is a servant and is generous, how many know that's going to make a great wife? Those kind of qualities are going to make a great wife for your son. That's the kind of girl that you want your son to marry. And that's what's taking place here. He's seeing this girl. And so when she is finished watering the camels, the servant takes one of those sacks off the camel, opens it up, full of gold and jewels and precious things, and he pulls out a golden nose ring. It's a cultural thing, okay? We don't wear them today. A golden nose ring and 2 gold bracelets, and he gives them to her. And so she gets something out of the process, but it doesn't stop there. Because then he offers her a marriage proposal for a godly man. So she gets a godly husband out of it, but also when she gets the man, she's going to get all the guy's stuff. I mean, guys, hey, ladies like jewelry. Abraham knew what he was doing when he sent all that jewelry along, okay? So she became wealthy, but here's something even more important. Rebekah, when she married Isaac, became the great, 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 38 greats, the great-grandmother of Jesus Christ. And because of her generosity, millions of people have been blessed by that one act of generosity over the past 4,000 years. Wow. You talk about a blessed life. That one act of generosity opened up the windows of heaven to her, and she had a blessed life because she was willing to be generous. She was willing to share her energy, willing to share her time, willing to share what she had. It wasn't a lot. It was just a clay jar. It was just a pot, a little bit of time and energy, but that's what she was willing to share, what was in her hand, and God blessed her abundantly. You see, when we are sharing, it changes the world, and it expresses the heartbeat of God. It causes people to get saved, but we get blessed too in ways that we can't even begin to fathom. That's the Rebecca principle. That's the third lesson that we realize is that's the power of generosity, is that it leads to a blessed life for us. Okay, now let's hit the last point. But before I do, I need to ask a question, okay? I had a few things break down this week, and I need $100. Is there anyone here who'll give me $100? Got a couple people? Just bring it right down right now. I'll take $100 right now. Jim, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So, well, Dale's coming down. My goodness. I'm really blown away. 150. Oh, thank you. Some of you say, man, I'm going to those two guys after service. Dale kind of wrecked my illustration here, okay? Because you see, Jim was a plant. I gave Jim this $100 before service. But I'm not going to keep Dale's 50. I'm giving it back to him. Although it would have made a nice lunch at Texas Roadhouse today. Why was it easy for Jim to give me $100? Because Jim didn't own it. It was really mine. He was just holding on to it until I asked for it. And that leads us to the fourth point. Take a look at your notes this morning. It's easy to be generous with things that you don't own. It's easy to be generous with things that you don't own. And we see this in Acts chapter 4, verse 32. In the New Living Translation, it says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. That was their heart. They realized, you know, I really don't own my stuff. God owns it. And he's just given it to me to hold on to. And so when God says give it, I can give it because I don't own it. And that's what we need to realize. That's why the early church was so generous, because they felt what I own isn't really mine. Yeah, my name might be on it, but it's not mine. You see, my house that's in my name, my car that's in my name, I manage it. It's not really mine to hold on to. And that's what the Bible teaches in Psalm 24, verse 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Those who dwell therein, that's you and me. We belong to God. The world and all its fullness, that's everything that we have, it belongs to God. I want you to say, I own nothing. God owns it all. God is the owner. And here's the thing. Take a look in your notes this morning. This is what the early church said. They lived their life saying, what can I do to leverage my life to make the biggest difference for eternity? They lived with this attitude that I'm going to give it all away. If God asks for it, I give it. How can I leverage my life to make the biggest difference for eternity? How can I make the biggest impact in someone's life? And there's four areas we give you. I want you to write these down. These are in the order of importance, so at least they are for me. The first area is, how can I be generous with my time? How can I be generous with my time? How will I spend time with other people today to impact them for eternity? Parents, if you have kids at home still, taking time, especially with your little ones, to pray and to be in the Word and to establish a hunger for God when they're young and then continuing that when they grow up, that's one of the most important ways you can impact. Don't leave it up to the church. We'll supplement what you do, but your kids are with you 7 days a week. You need to be taking that time to pour eternity into your children. Be taking time to pour into eternity, into the people around you, the people you work with, you go to work with tomorrow, the people you go to school with tomorrow. How can I spend my time to make eternity just come to pass in a powerful way in other people's lives? That's the first one. The next one is, how can I be generous with my talents? How can I be generous with my talents? Today, how can I use my skill and my abilities to help others? How can I use my skill and my ability to help other people? Some of you, you have talents and gifts, but you're not using them for God. And I tell you, we have lots of areas in the church, lots of ministries. We need people in nursery and in kids' church, in sound and media, on worship team, in our food pantry, as youth sponsors, as life group leaders. We can go on and on and on, but we need people who will say, I will give some of my talent and my time. I'm going to serve on a ministry team in the church. It's one of those relationships we need, someone to work with us. How are you in giving your time and your talent to God? Question number three, how can I be generous with my words? How can I be generous with my words? How can I impact other people with what I say? How can I encourage them? How can I lift them up? How can I strengthen them? How can I comfort them? How can I impact people with the words that I speak? And the last area is, how can I be generous with my money? And when we say money, that encompasses not just our pocketbook, but our possessions, the things we own. If God says, you know, give a coat or give a furniture or give what you have to someone, are you willing to give it? What does God want you to give, and are you willing to give it? Do you have the same perspective of the early disciples, that really, my time is not my own, my talent's not my own, you know, my riches are not my own, but God, if you want me to give, I will give back to you. Someone once said that all of life is spent between two zeros, okay? When you're born with zero, nothing, nada, zilch. And then when you die, on the other end of the spectrum, you die with zero. You take nothing with you. You've never seen a hearse pull a U-Haul trailer trucking on down the road. Okay? You're born with nothing. You die with nothing. But you can send it on ahead by how you live the time in between. If you live as a steward of God, saying, God, I'm willing to share whatever you tell me to share, I can lay up treasure in heaven. Matthew, one of those early followers of Jesus, wrote in his gospel, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Leveraging our lives for eternity. That's what the early Christians did, by living a life of sharing and caring and giving. Reflecting that loving heartbeat of God that is so generous. It impacted their world, it blessed their lives, and it made a difference for all of eternity.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.